Well, I hope it don't happen that I'll be gone. But if it does, I know where I'm going. So praise the Lord. I appreciate the blessings of the Lord. It is good to be here again. Appreciate each one of you and appreciate you being here. Hope that the Lord will bless you for coming. I got to say one thing, Brother Lowry. His wife, Miss Connie, she puts on some, every once in a while, she'll put on a funny thing on Facebook. And she said she had started, I just read this, I think, yesterday. I told Farrell and Melissa and Joshua about it today. She said, she had started investing in stocks. Kind of surprised me. Said she had started investing in stocks. Beef stock and chicken stock and vegetable stock, since she's hoping one day to become a billionaire. All right. Anyway, it's all right. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. I trust that you'll pray that the Lord will help this week, that we'll have the messages that will honor him, and that he'll be glorified in all that is done. And by the way, there is a great, great need. Since we, in the ministry that the brother was telling us about, I'm telling you today, even in the county where we're from in North Carolina, we moved back from Kansas after 31 years of church planting, and we moved back to Wilkes County, North Carolina. And I've been told different things, and I wish I knew how many just Baptist churches there was in Wilkes County. There's somewhere around 65, 67,000 people, in our county. I've heard it said that there's over 400, Baptist churches in our county. Correct me if I'm wrong, but did the fire marshal not tell you that he could be in a Baptist church every day of the year and could not get to all of them? That's right. So that does say that there's around at least, well, there's been more started since then. I mean, yet at the same time, there's church after church there that are without pastors. Part of my ministry has begun. I'm a representative, supposed to be a representative, for the mission agency that we've worked through for many years. And so we're trying to represent GPA missions. But a lot of my time has been spent filling the pulpit for churches that are looking for pastors. And so there's a great need, as I said, here in as well as in other places. And we do know Brother Lowry, and he has stayed faithful. He don't have a ministry that's running in the hundreds after the times that he's been there, but they have stayed faithful, and they knock doors, and they give out literally thousands of Bibles and all of this, and I appreciate them. I read his newsletters he sends them to us email, even though I ask him to continue, even though I'm not a church planter per se then as pastor, but I read them and pray for them, and I send him my prayer letters, and I made mention that one of the things that I'd like to see is I'd like to be able to put together something that would be resources for church planters and young churches and things like that, and use the experience that God has given us and allowed us to have, use that some way to further the cause of Christ and to further missions. And I put it in a prayer letter. If anybody knew about any resources, Brother Lowry is the only person. I probably sent out 200 letters. Brother Lowry is the only person that came back. Just to say that. I mean, that has said, give me any input. All right? Genesis chapter 24. Let me read just a couple of verses of scripture. And again, This is one of the Genesis chapters that most people are familiar with. It's the story of Abraham. I'm just going to read some excerpts. Verse 1 says, And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Let me stop there. If you remember, he's about 100 years old when his son Isaac is born. Now it's time for Isaac to get married. Yep. Abraham's still around. Yep. I would imagine he's old and well stricken in age, okay? And if it's true, if it was true back then, as we would read about later on, usually a man would get married around 30 years of age. So I did not look up. I don't remember how old Abraham was when he died. If anybody knows, just tell me right quick. 175, all right? Thank you. I'd forgotten. And anyway, he's old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, he said, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord God, by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And you know the story, the servant says, what if she won't come with me? Abraham says, I'll release you from your goal. He said, should I take Isaac over there? No, don't you, by any means, don't you take her over there. And so the Bible says in verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And therefore shall I know that thou showed kindness unto my master. It came to pass, before he was done speaking, God answers his prayer, by the way, before he's got it finished. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they are done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord would make his journey prosperous. It came to pass as the camels were done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of the 10 shekels weight of gold. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you today to thank you for your kindness of even just this day. I'm grateful for your blessings in our lives in so many and varied ways. I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the message tonight. I thank you for letting me hear my grandson preach again. I thank you, Lord, for the preacher that you have made him. I thank you, Father, for the details that he sees in the scriptures. I remember, Lord, as a little boy that he would see details on cars or different things like that. Lord, thank you for developing these things in him. Continue to do so, work in his life and use him to the glory of God. Please help his dear wife in these times and give grace and strength there. Lord, that he help him, that he'll hear that things are even better, to where he won't have as much concern, to where he can enjoy the meeting and do what he needs to do to the glory of God. Now use me tonight. Lord, not to, Lord, that's a wonderful message, and we could go home and I could say that it's been a blessing to be in the house of God. Lord, the songs bless my heart tonight, and I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me now not to mess things up, but use me for your glory. And we'll ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I told the pastor tonight, our son, or this afternoon, we spent a little time together, and I shared with him a little thought about this, and to be honest with you, did not plan to preach this message tonight, and once I told him a couple of things, the Lord stirred that back in my heart again, and I looked at what I was going to preach, and I looked at something else because you want to be sure that, I mean, I know you can take the Word of God and anywhere you open it, it's the Word of God, and if it's the Word of God, it'll be good for the people. But I believe there are specific messages for specific times, and so we need to look at that. And I want to preach to you tonight upon this thought. Someone to water the camels. Here's the story, and it's a literal story from the scriptures. We know that Abraham was a real man. We know that Isaac was his son, and he was the chosen one. We know that Abraham had other sons, but this is the one that God has chosen by faith, and this is the one that God had miraculously allowed him to father and allowed Abraham's wife, Sarah, to bear even after that she had passed the time of childbearing, much beyond. And God did a miraculous work to the glory and honor of God. Abraham, if you remember, prayed that God would cause Ishmael to live before him. But Ishmael was a child of the flesh. And he was, but here's the child of promise, Isaac, and he's looking for a son. So there is in a nutshell, the interpretation of the scripture. Abraham says to his son, to his servant that he's placed in charge of all of his goods. He has said to him, go back to my country, and to my family and get a wife for Isaac. What a trusted servant that must have been. And so he does. He makes it clear to his servant. His servant makes clear what his master wants, and he sets out on his journey. And so he takes 10 of the camels. He was in charge of all. Abraham left it to him to do things. To have some, if you will, some leeway in what he's doing. He didn't say take 10 camels. He told him what to do, where to go. He went. And this servant prays to God for guidance and leadership on finding the proper wife for his master's son. Right. Now, spiritually speaking, or that is the interpretation. I want to preach to you tonight in application, if I may. We could look at this picture, Abraham being the father, the servant being a picture of the Holy Spirit, and Isaac is the son. And so we know that the Father has sent the Holy Spirit into this world, and He indwells us as believers, and there is a bride being sought for the Son. Okay? And so that's along the lines that I want to see. And the thought is, that we are to, there needs to be someone, that'll water the camels, if you will. And I'll go into that a little bit further. But in order, here's my thought. In order to water the camels, I lost my thought. What's the girl's name? Help me, please. Rebecca. As I look at this, Rebecca had to know where the well was if she's going to get the water.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
You watch some of the old movies and you see them in a desert and they're searching. I remember watching a Western one time. And, this fella supposedly knew where water was in the well, and Marshall Dillon, of course, he was a prisoner of Marshall Dillon. He wouldn't tell him. And when he died, he actually couldn't find where it was. And when the man died, the water, came up around him. It had been buried in the sand. If you're going to drink the water, you're going to have to know where the water is. You're going to have to find the well. You're going to have to find the well. As I look at it, could I say there's different thoughts that we could bring out of this in looking at it as far as what is our well. Of course, we could say the Bible is our well. If we're going to, and here's the whole thing. It's the idea of carrying water.
Yeah.
It's the idea of carrying the water. Water being the Word of God.
Right.
But also, that well springing up in us is the Lord Jesus.
Right.
But it comes through us finding the well. And how do we find it? Through the Word of God.
Yeah.
We have to preach the Word of God in order for people to be saved.
Yeah.
And so I look at it in that manner. God's Word is our well.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus is our well. Literally, when you find the scripture, I'll just read you in John chapter 4 what the Bible says in relation to this in verse 14. The Bible says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him, shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. What did Jesus give that woman that was looking for that water? He gave her the Word of God. Now, we know that Jesus, in another sense, we can call him the well. Because just reading the Bible does not bring salvation. But listening to the Bible, receiving the Bible, believing what the Bible says about Jesus brings us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that we might be saved. It brings us in repentance unto Him where we can by faith call upon Him. Because by faith, faith comes by the Word of God. And so you can look at it in those manners and think about it. I would say in one sense then, what is our well? Yes, it's Jesus. That's how salvation comes. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, the scripture says. Nobody else, no one else. I'm told, and I had the privilege to go to India to preach a few years ago, and I'm told that, of course, there's a great deal of Hinduism over there, and I am told that you have to be careful when you're witnessing to a Hindu. They have many gods. I did see, as we drove down roads, I seen places where you could buy your god. There was elephant gods and there was monkey gods and different kinds of gods. You could just choose the gods you wanted and buy them. You could buy more than one if you wanted to, I'm sure. And so I'm told that they just, when you tell them about Jesus, they just, when they do not believe and when it's some of that easy believism and such, they just accept Jesus as a God, one of the millions of gods that they have. And so we know that that's not salvation. And I look at the scripture and I find then today that Jesus is the only way. He's the way of salvation. He is salvation himself. He is the one that died on the cross of Calvary. Others died, two thieves died with him that day. Salvation was not in the one that didn't believe in Jesus. Salvation was not in the one that did believe in Jesus. Salvation was in Jesus. There's none other name given under heaven. I done quoted it. Acts 4:12. None other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. We have to take the water of the word to people to get them to the well of salvation, to where they'll believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We could say in some ways prayer is our well. Listen, as a child of God, we grow weary as we give out. I'm talking about as we give out the word, as we give out the water of the word. We can grow weary in our flesh. But my, how that, and I'm going to tell you that, that prayer is work in itself. But a little bit of work there can bring refreshing to our souls. Amen. And reading the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. Get your mind off of the other things. I could not tell you how many times in my lifetime that I've went to the house of God weary. As a young preacher, my wife knows this is the truth. I've come in the house. I'd have a revival meeting or be preaching somewhere. I've come in the house, and as soon as I got the door shut, I'd start taking off my shirt. I'd take off my shirt going through the house, and as soon as I could get into the bedroom, I'd get my clothes off. I'd jump in the bath tub, take a shower as quickly as I could, shave, and all of this, and head out the door somewhere to preach the Word of God. And I'm telling you, I'd be weary in my flesh. And some of you know what it is. You work a job, and I pastored and worked a job, and went to Bible college all three at the same time. I have walked in my study back and forth reading my Bible because I would be so tired that if I sat down at my desk or if I sat down in my recliner out in the living room or something, I'd be asleep before I got the first verse done because I was tired. But listen, I've come into the house of God and God refreshed my soul and blessed me, and I'd leave and go home much more rested than I would have been if I'd have stayed at home. I'm telling you, going to the house of God is a well that we need. We must have these things if we're going to carry the water of the Word to a lost and dying world. If we're going to do it in a way that would please the Lord. Fellowshipping with the saints of God around the house of God, it is a good well to go to and strengthen us. Iron sharpeneth iron. And we go and we talk about these things, and we fellowship with each other, and it's a well that refreshes us to cause us to be able to pick up another pitcher and take it one more time in feeding the camels. I look at the scripture and I find today that if you're going to get someone the water of the word, you're going to have to know where the well is. You're going to have to know where the well is. And then you're going to have to not be afraid of hard work. Not be afraid of hard work. You see, there's a lot of people, they like to drink, but they don't like to draw. Yeah. You can go to the internet and you can find a lot of things. A lot of things. You wouldn't ever have to open your Bible anymore. I'm talking about preachers. But let me tell you something. If you're going to pastor, you're going to have to find something that God gives you for your people. It is your responsibility to get from God what your people need.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what this servant knew his camels needed at that time? They needed water.
Yeah.
Where did he go? He went to the well.
Amen.
And he waited for someone. And he prayed to God. He said, God, I know my camels need water. But they've been on a long, hard journey. I know the camels need water. But listen, I've got a task to do. I've been tasked with the privilege and with the responsibility to find my master's son, to find him a wife. And so God, not after the camels are watered, but while I'm getting some water and while they're getting some water, God, would you just show me who it is?
Amen.
He didn't wait until he interviewed every woman in town.
Right.
Every young woman. He didn't wait until he run across some men and say, hey, what's the most beautiful woman in town?
Yeah.
What's the woman that would be the best person? If you was choosing a wife, a bride for a young man, maybe your own son, where would you go? Who would you go to? He relied on God.
Amen.
And boy, I'm telling you, we're going to have to do that.
Amen.
To the glory and honor of God. I want you to look at this woman that was carrying the water for just a moment. I'm not talking about just her beauty. I'm not talking about her demeanor. I guess I am. But we look at this and what I want you to see is that this woman, when she came, the servant didn't tell her immediately why he was there. He didn't tell her what he's looking for. He didn't say, this is the characteristics of a wife that I'm looking for. But if you look at this, the Bible says that in verse 19, and when she was done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also. Now, had he not asked for this? In verse 14, and it came to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, you see, he didn't say just, God, show me the woman. But he said, the woman that I asked this, in that way would you show me? And so he said, the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And behold, I shall know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now, I want you to notice what she says. She says, verse 19, in the middle of it, I will draw water for thy camels also. But she went beyond. She went beyond. And here's the gist of the message tonight. If we're going to be one that carries the water, again, I'm making reference to if we could see it as missions, or if we could see it as witnesses for the Lord, carrying the water of the Word to a lost and dying, to those that need it. In that respect, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to go further than we maybe thought we would in the beginning. She said, "I will draw water for thy camels also, until they are done drinking." I did a little bit of research on this, and this is what I told my son. It said that a camel would drink 53 gallons of water a day. He's got 10 camels. By the way, I don't see this in the scripture, but I saw this in doing my research. It said that they could drink that 53 gallons in 3 minutes. She's committed herself, if they all drink 53 gallons of water times 10 camels, that's 530 gallons of water. She's willing to do that. What are we willing to do? How far are we willing to go to reach people for Christ that are lost and undone without God and going to hell? And if we don't tell them, who will? She don't know that she's being interviewed to be the wife of a rich man. Oh no. She don't know this. She don't know that she's being interviewed to be the wife that'll be in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. She don't know any of these things. She just sees a stranger that needs some water, and she probably thinks he looks like he's been traveling a long time, and I'm young and he's older, and I'll just carry water for his camels, and I'll carry it until they're done drinking. Amen. Now, if you know anything about the whales in WELLS, the whales in that land, they would dig those whales, hand dig them, of course. They didn't have the whale drilling outfits that we've got today and all of that. They would dig those whales, and they would build steps down into them, and they would go down into those wells and draw the water, dip it out, and bring it up. My wife and I have been several times, and I struggle in I just say Farrell, and I don't mean any disrespect. It's my son. He is our pastor this week, and the pastor here at Island Ford Baptist Church, and he's been, and his wife has been, and Joshua's been. There is a whale in Kansas that is called the Big Whale. Anybody else been to the Big Whale in Kansas? Okay, just the shepherds. I think, did I see anybody else saying? Anyway, the shepherds. But here's the thing. It was dug during what we would call pioneer days, the wagon, horse and wagon days, and as people would come, a man came there and settled, and he had a store, and he needed water, and so there was not good water in the area, so he just decides to dig him a whale. And as people would come through to in the going west, some of them would stay. for a while. Maybe they needed to rest their oxen or the sheep. He would hire them day labor to dig this well. I don't remember how far across it is, but it may be half as wide as this auditorium, would you say? Do you remember like that? It's got a spiral case. They laid rock from the top down. They had scaffolds. He hired them. He built special wagons. And those wagons had, the bottoms of them would be able to turn like that. They'd load those wagons by hand, and they would haul it out to where there was limestone croppings. And as they went out, they would move a lever, and it would sift that dirt out and spread it out. They didn't have to shovel it out. By the time they got where they was going, it would be empty. They would load those wagons with limestone and bring it back. And they continued that process as they dug the well. And it's a huge well. And you can walk down in it in a spiral staircase. And a man in the church at Larned Independent Baptist Church, where our grandson Joshua pastors, he was a scuba diver at one time, and he went down, and they brought coins up and cleaned that thing out by the 5 gallon buckets, so that was there. That would be my idea. My idea over in Mesopotamia, that they probably had a spiral staircase. I couldn't find how deep that well was. But I did find that the well, Jacob's well, where Jesus sat and gave the woman the water in John chapter 4, gave her the living water. I did find out that well is 135 feet deep. So I got to thinking, if that well over there was 135 feet deep, if you kind of figure things out, that today code, I reckon it's still the same, for a step is about 8 inches. And if there was 8 inch steps, that would have been 202 steps to go down. Now I want you to think about it. She's got a pitcher that she carries on her shoulder or on her head. And she's got to go down there and dip that out, and she's going to carry 530 gallons of water, or she's committed herself to do that much. The camels might have been partly filled up. Maybe she didn't have to carry that much, but she was committing herself to do what was needed. She didn't say, I'll bring each one of them a pitcher of water. When we're trying to reach people, when we're trying to witness to them, we don't need to put a time limit. I'm going to go one more time to this person. Listen, there's a man in Wilkes County, North Carolina. My family will know who this is. I will not call his name since we're on the radio, but I've been praying for him for over 50 years. I went to see him. I've been praying, and I began to pray when I knew I was going back to Kansas. I said, God, there's these men that I've been praying for all of these years. God, I'm going back home. God, would you help me to get to speak to them, get to witness to them? The first one was at one of my grandson Ben's son's Little League game. There he was. And before I could get to say anything to him about the Lord, I was told that he had just trusted Christ as his Savior. Amen. And he was going to be baptized the following Sunday. Amen. Another one, I got a call from his daughter saying that her daddy was in the hospital with a broken hip. Well, God got him hemmed up. He couldn't leave. He couldn't walk. So I just go down there every day and talk to him for a while about the Lord. Amen. That man has called me a fool. That man has told me that nobody can convince him that a woman had a baby without a man. He said, I've farmed too long. And you see, he don't understand that these things are by faith. You gotta believe by faith. And so I just witnessed to him, keep on witnessing to him. And I determined that I'm going to witness to him until he gets saved or I die or he does. That's just a way of it. I've made that commitment unto God. And so I just want you to understand that she made a commitment to carry at least 530 gallons of water. I tried to find out how much. I looked at some different things. I said, listen, if she was carrying 2 gallons of water at a time, that'd be about 16 gallons. I mean, about 16 pounds. They say water weighs about 8 pounds of the gallon. And she's going to go down 404 steps maybe. And I mean, down and back. And then go over and pour the water in the trough. If she'd have done that, if it's 135 feet deep and it's 202 steps, if she'd have done that, if it had been 2 gallons, she'd have had to make 265 trips. She'd have had to walk about 13 and a half miles. That's what she's committing to. Carrying this. And I've done some scenarios, but I did find one thing, and I just stopped there. It said that normally those water pitchers would hold around 9 gallons. That surprised me. 9 times 8 is 72 if my math is correct. Can you imagine carrying 72 pounds? I mean the strongest man here. Can you imagine doing that, carrying them back and forth? I saw an old picture one time. Anybody remember a blast from the past, if you will, an old television program called The Real McCoys? They is from West Virginia, the mountains of West Virginia. They had inherited some a farm out in California, so they moved out there. Grandpa and Luke and his wife Lucy, and then there's a boy and a girl. And so this one that I'm thinking about was some people was coming from West Virginia to visit them. And it was a man and his daughter, and I don't remember the daughter's name, but she and Luke had been sweet on each other at one time. And Grandpa, not knowing that he was kind of saying some things that Lucy wouldn't like, he said, I never did understand why that Luke didn't marry her. He said, not only was she pretty, but he said she had muscles enough to pull a plow. And Lucy's a little, you know, a little small thing and everything. And so I thought about this. Here's Rebecca's not only beautiful, but she must have had muscles strong enough to pull a plow in order if that was a 9 pound thing. However much it was, she committed herself and did it. But if it was 9 gallons, she'd have carried roughly 72 pounds up and down until she made 59 trips to get it done, to carry that 530 gallons. And here's a woman committing herself to do that. And we won't hardly get up on Saturday morning and meet the pastor at the church for visitation. And we won't hardly come all week to a services, and we say we love God and we want to serve God and we have a burden for lost souls. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, when you compare what this woman did, how far beyond that we would have expected her to go, and she went that distance just to be kind. Listen, she was willing. That's the point from verse 19 I want you to see. She was willing. She was willing to go the distance to carry the load that she needed for a natural thing. And what are we willing to do for the spiritual? I want you to think about this. Not only was she willing, but the Bible says in verse 18, that she hasted. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand. So she hasted. What do you use that? In my way of saying it, she got at it. She got at it. I've heard people say, preacher, when I get so-and-so done, when I get my house paid off, I'm going to be able to do some things. When I putting it in the future, she just got at it. She got at it. You won't ever get it done until you get started. You won't ever get it done until you get started. Whatever it is you're going to do, you won't ever get done until you get started. And you won't ever get it done if you don't keep at it. She kept at it. And that's the thing. How many times in the 31 years we was in Kansas, how many preachers from the South did I know go West or Midwest or somewhere? And they're all gung-ho and they can talk a talk and while they're raising their support and everything. And all of a sudden they get out there and they find out just because it's 50 miles to another church that it's not so easy. They think they're just going to flock in and all of this. But in about a year or two, they all of a sudden say, God's kicked the dust off of his feet. God's through with them. God's not going to do anything. I'm going back home. But who knows but what just the next day would have made a difference. Who knows but just what if one more time. I'm going to tell you the truth. One of the things that I scratched my head about, if you will, and that I prayed much about, is Lord, when is it time to leave that town? To leave that church? Pastors go through that. Boy, when I was pastor at Vision Baptist Church, and there where Farrell followed me and Brother Gray is now, there in Wilkes County, when God began to deal with me, but I was not sure it was him. Have you ever been there? I mean, you begin to get this thought, and I would say, as I was praying, God, I don't want to tear down what you have built here. I don't want to stay too long. But God, I don't want to leave just because for some reason I'm in a period of discouragement. Let me give you some good advice. Don't make a earth-changing or a earth-shaking decision when you're discouraged. And if you don't know what to do, wait on the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what I told the Lord finally, because I didn't know. I said, God, I don't know where you want me to leave or not. I said, so I tell you what I'm going to do. I know you sent me here. I know that far. I've got the orders to go. And so I went. And they tell me that in the military, when you've been given an order, until that order is completed, or it is rescinded, or changed, you follow the orders that you got. A Japanese man, after the war was over, if I remember correctly, I used to have the name, but there was a man that 30 years after the war ended, they found this man, a Japanese warrior, still there. He had been sent to occupy a small island, and he would not leave. He would not even believe. They dropped leaflets in and all kinds of things. And they had to bring the man that he was his. He just so happened to be still living. And they had to bring the man that gave him the order there before he had ever surrendered. He was determined to stay. We ought to be determined to stay. Not to be the dead horse, but find the will of God. Listen, the way the Lord settled it for me, that morning I was in that walk-in closet praying over there where the bathroom's at now, Brother Gray, in the back at Sunday school. I said, Lord, I tell you what I'm going to do since I don't know your will in this thing. Maybe I just don't know how to find your will. I tell you what I'm going to do. I know you sent me here, so I'm just going to stay. I'm going to stay here until you send for me. So if you want me, you know where I'm at. That was not a brash statement. It was just an honest, truthful, humble statement. I said, if you want me, send for me. Or I said, if you send for me, and I'll leave. I walked out that door, and right back on that side was three men I'd never seen before. And in my spirit, I believe it's the Holy Ghost, said, that's a pulpit committee. Sure enough, it was. I resigned the next Sunday. And I didn't, by the way, I did not go to that church. I did not take that church. After they voted me in, I did not take that church. But God done so. We need to, if we know what to do, we need to get at it. I mean, how much longer do we have? How much longer do we need to wait? How many more people need to die without God and go to hell? And we've got the message before we get at it. She was willing. She got at it. She stayed at it. The Bible says until they were done drinking, she made trip after trip after trip to the well to refill her vessel. And you'll have to do that if you do anything for God. Brother, you know that. You'll have to do that. You'll have to refresh yourself. Missionaries don't come back on furlough just because that they need to report to their churches, and they do. They do not come back just because of other things. Part of the reason is they come back to refresh themselves and to draw strength and such as that. You can find that in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts in those first missionaries that went out. You'll find a furlough in there. When they had fulfilled the work, when a pastor had been called, they came home back where they had been recommended, and they abode there a long time, the scripture says. So she emptied her vessel time after time, and she put what she drew from the well to good use. You study the Word of God, and God gives you something. He doesn't give that to you just so you can tout how much you know your Bible. He gives that to you to where you can share it with someone that's in need. It might be another pastor. It might be another preacher. It might be a missionary. But certainly it would be the lost. We need to do that. Are you carrying the water? Are you making trip after trip to the well? What are we doing? What are we going to do for God this year? Father, take the message and honor your name with it, and help as our son delivers the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.